Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, we consider that a sign of high intelligence, as you know, and as you always do, you get a lot smarter when any members of our brain trust join us, and that's absolutely true now, because Karen Cortell Reisman is with us. She's our good friend, a longtime member of our brain trust. She is a cousin of the great mind Albert Einstein, which is a claim to fame that I'd be telling people about if that were true for me. She's the author of The Naked Truth About Giving Great Speeches, and she's our good friend. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I hope you have a great 2007, and I'd like to propose that we have a good one together. What do you think?
Thank you.
So, what's the news in the world of communicating?
I thought we would concentrate today, beginning that this is the beginning of a new year. Many companies and even small businesses will now convene meetings
right. And
start to put together their plans for this year and the next. And so I thought we would talk today about how to put together a great meeting and how a meeting can be done in a more effective way.
I like that idea. And from big businesses to small businesses, you're exactly right. They're having them all over the place. I know some very large international companies, some people that I know that are literally, even as we speak, are convening in some meetings around the world, around the country. They're coming together from all over the place to get together to talk about what are we going to do in 2007. Actually, to sort of summarize what happened and recap what happened in the last year and to talk about what do we got to do to have an even better 2007.
There was a study done at University of Southern California, and the results are that 65% of meeting attendees feel that underlying issues outside the scope of the official agenda are the real subjects under discussion, and 33% feel pressured to publicly espouse opinions which they don't privately agree with. And another 33% feel that they have minimal or no influence on the discussion.
So you're saying the second and third part there, you're saying that people feel that they have to subscribe to a plan that they are ideas that they think are actually bogus, maybe, and a group of them believe that the other third, I guess, believe that they don't have any input.
Basically, the average meeting is just that, average. The purported purpose is completed only 50% of the time. So I want to talk about today with you and with our listeners about how to add that other vital 50%.
I like that idea.
How can we make meetings more productive, more exciting, and more effective, and where people feel that their voices are heard?
You know, when I worked for large companies in the past, Karen, we had a year-end meeting where we celebrated all of the heroes, all of the champions of the year. And I've been up on that stage. I've been a champion before, and you felt like you were the great. It was like you won the Indy 500 or the Super Bowl. You know, you were going to Disney World or something. You know, it was that great. And then in less than a week, you had your kickoff meeting for the next year. And in that meeting, even the champions, it was from the management, it was like, okay, what have you done for me lately? So there was a little bit of a come down from being the champion to, okay, we got to start all over again from scratch.
Right.
And so, that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about and blend into our conversation. How do we go from celebrating what we did last year and carrying that through in 2007 rather than going, rather than saying, one day you're a hero, the next day you're not?
it's a come down, I must admit. What I would suggest is that a good meeting has three parts to it. And what was missing on your second meeting was what I'm about to say, is that you've got to have some strategies before, during, and after the meeting to make it successful. And the pre-planning is more important than, let's just say it's like baking a cake.
Mm-hmm.
And before the meeting, it's actually making and baking the cake. That's mm-hmm. The most important stuff happens before the meeting. And what could have made that second meeting less of a letdown would be to figure out ahead of time, what's your goal? This is what you do before a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out, what's your goal? Visualize, what do you want to accomplish?
Hold on to that thought, Karen. I love the difference between men and women metaphors. You know, I was winning the Indy 500. You're baking a cake. I love these differences. Viva la difference,
you'll
right, Karen?
You'll stay thinner.
Stand by. We'll be right back. It's 22.
Your heart may be broken tonight.
Are you reeling in the east?
Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage. There's no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you right in. You don't have to tell us who you are. Just use our resources. They're all there available to you to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, and they're compliments of me and my organization and our outstanding corporate partners. Karen Cortell Reisman is all over our website. She's contributed so much to us over the years as a member of our Brain Trust. She is one of our top communication experts in our Brain Trust and actually on the planet. She's the author of The Naked Truth About Giving Great Speeches. And Karen, give us your website, please.
Thanks. My website is speakforyourself.com.
And that you actually have some video products, don't you?
I do. I have CD products, DVD products, and Jim, I'm about to publish my second book. I'm
all right.
Excited.
Can you tell us the name of it?
Of course. It's The Naked Truth About Selling.
And I expect you to launch the book on this show.
And I will, and thank you very much. Actually, it's coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Okay,
very
well,
excited. So this could be the launch.
Well, okay, there you go. Listen, we're better than we thought. Okay,
meeting management
and doing
how to
a better job.
Work.
And you're baking a cake for this meeting,
well,
right?
What I'm saying is, what people do is they just get to the meeting and they think that's where the action is. It's not. The action happens ahead of time. And what the analogy is that let's just say you are baking a cake. The before the meeting is making and baking the cake. The meeting itself is eating the cake, and so it goes from there. So before you even walk in the door, one should realize, what are your goals? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to say? Do you have an agenda? Where will you meet? Figure out the room configuration. Make it so it works.
If you were in the audience, how would the message land on you? That would be a question I would want to ask.
Right. How can I meet the needs? Who are the people that will be in my audience? And how will I speak their language? But one thing I really want to stress on this program is that some people might be going, well, I'm not the leader of most meetings, so therefore I have no control. Wrong. We can come into this meeting and not be the facilitator, and not be the leader of the meeting, and still can help direct so that it ends on time. And one way we can do that is during the meeting, we can actually say, you can help summarize. So far we've done such and such. Now, where can we go from here to get this action step accomplished? So in other words, even if you're not the leader, you can help move the meeting along.
Could you volunteer to contribute? Could you say, hey, boss, what can I do to help?
Yes, you can volunteer to contribute. You can summarize and paraphrase.
Tell us what that means.
Well, this will help keep your meeting moving forward rather than getting caught in the tangent road to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
If the discussion is going on and on and on, you as part of the meeting can just say, let me just summarize what we've just said.
Uh-huh.
and do that in a concise manner.
And make it sound like and don't do it in a way that sounds like the whoever was delivering the message didn't do it well. Make it sound like just to make sure you understand, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let me make sure
I understand this.
Right. So that you don't make yourself out to be the king and queen of the meeting.
Or a critic.
Of course. But you can keep that meeting moving on. Instead of sitting there just endlessly looking at the clock going, why is this thing droning on and on?
Well, you know, another thing that, and I'd like to say this to the people who are leading the meetings out there, get other people involved. It seems to me, Karen, you know, when I talked earlier about being the hero one day and, you know, and the
right.
kind of the schmuck the next day, I always felt like what they should have done was the folks who were on the podium, you know, as champions the 2 days before, let those guys be the cheerleaders and the leaders of the next meeting. You know, if these are our role models for the last year, why wouldn't they be good people for us to want to emulate in the next year?
Exactly. In fact, this is one of the chapters in my new book, and I say empower with praise. That's one of the things we can do that make people want to keep working and want to keep coming to these meetings. Another idea is to ask for what you want if you are the leader of the meeting. A great idea is to when you accomplish something, tell them what the group has accomplished. Actually reiterate, we've done this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
Makes us feel better about the time we've just spent. Another idea is discuss good things first. Try not to get off to a negative start, which is what happened to you on that second meeting.
But how do you deal with negatives? When is a good time to deal with those things?
It's part of the reality. You can't just have Pollyanna meetings. You have to discuss
negatives. If we had a bad year in last year, and we have reason to believe the next year is going to be better, don't we need to go ahead and get that out of the way?
Right, but I would still discuss the good things first.
Yeah.
I would start off with something positive.
Play the glad game, the Pollyanna glad game for a minute, right?
Well, I would just start with something positive because I'm sure there are some things that went well.
Yeah,
And then spend one agenda point on the numbers, for example.
Mm-hmm. Stand by, Karen. Karen Cortero-Reisman is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your host. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Karen about the creature comforts part of a meeting. This is important. We are human beings. We are animals. We like these creature comfort things, and we're going to talk about that and other things when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Karen Cortero-Reisman. Karen, we need that website one more time.
Thanks, Jim. It's Speak For Yourself, and that's F-O-R, speakforyourself.com.
And the book is called The Naked Truth About Giving Great Speeches. The new book is called, the newer one, is which is coming out soon, is The Naked Truth About Selling. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And that's by Karen Cortero-Reisman. And the book's available where?
Through my website.
Okay. And check that out, folks, when you get a chance. Lots of articles and other things. There's some other products there that you can check out, videos and CDs and things like that. Karen, one of the things that incredibly people overlook when they're doing meetings is something that I try to pay a lot of attention to, and that's the creature comforts part of making a presentation or having a meeting. Whenever I speak to an organization, I do my very best to get there far enough in advance so that I can go to the room. Whenever I show up the day before, let's say, for a meeting, the first thing I do when I get there is I say, take me to the room. I want to see where this thing is going to happen. I want to see what the room looks like. I want to look at the chairs. I want to see how comfortable the chairs are. I want to make sure that there aren't people who are sitting behind a post or whatever. I want to have a feel for what I'm going to be doing in that room the next day. And I think that's an important thing to think about for our meetings, to make sure that people are comfortable. What do you think?
Absolutely. It's one of the interesting little hidden components that can make or break a meeting, is just how is it put together. In fact, I'm just going to actually read you. I got this email yesterday. I'm facilitating a meeting. A gentleman is running for national presidency of a big, big association. Mm-hmm. And she says to me, how do you see the room set up for this mock caucus, for the steering committee, blah, blah? Do you envision a hollow square with John at one end, or a U-shape with an open end for John to stand? I think there are too many for a conference style, everyone around a table, not good sight lines. Don't know if a schoolroom. In other words, we also must consider the video camera for good access. That's a smart meeting planner who sent me that email yesterday. So I emailed her back this morning, and I said, well, how many people will be there? And then I'll tell you how I think that the room should look, so that we can get the maximum amount of effectiveness from this mock caucus meeting. So you're absolutely right. One needs to plan that out. You don't want too many chairs in the room, because then it feels like there's zero energy.
I hate it when they crunch you up beside everybody. I like it. I think people should have room to spread out a little bit, don't you?
Plus, if you have a meeting where you're not with people that you know, it'd be nice to have big, big, fat name tags that are in front of you, not on your chest,
right,
but like a pop tent in front of you, so that, because everybody's name is one of the most wonderful things you could want to ever hear. Yes, if we're running out of time here.
Now, here's one other thing I'd like to point out. Talking about creature comforts, if food is involved, ladies and gentlemen, don't scrimp on the food. If you want to have good morale, make them say, wow, can you believe this food?
Oh, it's so funny you should say that, because in my book, I actually talk about the fact that, but don't have styrofoam cups.
Right.
Because styrofoam, first of all, it's awful for ecology's sake, but it's, people like to draw on it and then, like, pick them apart.
Well, they get knocked over. They get knocked over easy, too. I have a friend who doesn't like that because he sells those things. But no, I just think that if you scrimp on the food, it's going to be a downer for people. I mean, the coffee and the donuts, make sure that they're the best. I mean, you know, the spend a little extra money if you're feeding them a meal, and make them say, wow, this is good. And the next time they come to a meeting, if you're going to feed them, they're going to look forward to it. These are all just details that I think the human beings should be paying attention to. What do you
Agreed.
Think?
Agreed.
I got 30 seconds. Last thoughts.
Okay. The difference between a dumb meeting and a smart meeting is making sure there is progress and action, as well as positive outcomes.
Okay. Say that again.
The difference between a dumb meeting and a smart meeting is making sure there is progress in action, as well as some positive outcome.
And
then you have to follow up to ensure this forward movement happens.
Mm-hmm. And shouldn't everybody take away at least something to some assignment? I don't want to make it sound like homework, but shouldn't there be something for people to leave with to do other than just their budget? What do you think about that idea?
In order to keep people motivated, Jim, they have to feel like they're a part of the process. Mm-hmm. So somehow a part of the process. I don't hate to call it homework, but somehow a part of the process.
Yeah. Karen, thank you for being here. Good job today. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Karen Cortell Reisman, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.